My lesson today is, sorry, I don't even remember. Okay, this one is on 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through chapter 5, verse 5. And the reason that's up there is that entire section right there that I'm going to be dealing with deals with love. And the entire reason I wanted to pick it is because when I first accepted Christ in my heart, I really didn't have any love. And as a Christian, I believe it's completely essential for us to have love in our heart first. Because if we can't love anybody who God has created, how can we love God? And I asked myself that question when I first accepted the Lord. And I was also told by numerous staff members when I was down at the mission, if something's mentioned once in the Bible, pay attention. If something's mentioned twice, you should really pay attention. But when something's mentioned 551 times, you better get the hint. So here, let me go in and read. I'm going to read over that section real quick and then delve into it with my study. Hopefully it goes all right. I don't know. A little bit nervous yet. Not as nervous as last time because I'm not telling my story. I'm speaking God's word, which makes it easier for me because I don't know, I just get a sense of joy from doing it. So here we go. 1 John 4, chapter 7 through chapter 5, verse 5. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God is manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have not seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and believe that the love which God has for us, God is love, and the one who abides in God's love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I know it's a lot to go over. I did a brief summary in my study because I did this study when I was down at the mission, and I hope it helped some of the guys there, because we had some believers in the crowd, some people who already had Christ in their heart, but we also had some who didn't. And if we don't have love, like I was saying in the beginning, we really don't have anything, because as it said in that scripture right there, if we don't love, we don't have God. When we accept God, we get the Spirit. And when we accept the Spirit, we can actually start to truly love. I'm going to go over my study now. All right. Hopefully this isn't too confusing, and hopefully I can read my own handwriting. We'll try it and see how it goes. Here in the first part of verse 7, John is wanting us to unite in love toward one another, for it is a way to fulfill God's law. The next part, that everyone that loves is born of God. The Spirit of God is love. So therefore, the new nature of the children of God is the offspring of his love. Verse 8 says, if we don't love, then we don't know God, because as it says in verse 7, God is love. Verse 9 shows us his incredible love by sending his one and only perfect Son into the world to save us mortals and ungrateful rebels. Verse 10 shows that he loved us when we had no love for him, when we lay in our own guilt, misery, and blood, and we were undeserving, ill-deserving, polluted, and unclean, and wanted to, and washed our sins away in sacred blood. Sorry, I couldn't read my own handwriting there for a second. He gave his Son to be the atoning sacrifice or propitiation for our sins, so that after accepting him, we would be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. I thought it was funny to think that the Creator of everything would do all this for nothing but dust and ashes. Verse 11 is going over a familiar command that we are to love one another because God loved us. Verse 12 reaffirms that no one has seen God at any time, as stated in Romans 1, but we are able to see him in different things throughout his creation, similar to what we were going over a little bit today in study before church. And I thought it was funny that you touched on that, because when I was reading over this week, you know, highlighting my different things. That's why you look and you see all this blue on here, because I'm highlighting what I wanted to really touch on. I went over that and I was like, you know, that's something that really hit me, especially whenever I read Romans, that we can't see God, but we know he exists because the love we have for him and the love he has for us. I don't know, I just makes me really happy in that, knowing that God, who I was against for so many years, truly loves me. Okay, where was I? As stated in Romans 1, but we are able to see him in different things throughout his creation, more specifically it can be seen in us if we share his love to be his true children and not false ones. God's love is perfected in us when we obey his statutes and love one another as we are loved. Verse 13 states that he dwells in us and we in him. This is only made possible through the Spirit, whom we receive when we accept the Lord Jesus in our lives and in our hearts. Verse 14 starts out showing us that Lord Jesus' relationship to the Father, he is the only Son to God the Father and is God with the Father. Verse 15 states that we must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9, and 10 also says that we must confess, and this confession is made with our mouth. We have come to know and have believed that the love which God has for us. Verse 16 here is showing us what we Christian, what the Christian revelation is. The revelation of God's love. The Lord Jesus' life is a history of God's love to us. And that always takes me to this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. As always, I don't always stop there when I'm going over a verse. I read before and I read after. And I especially cling to the fact that we're told afterwards then that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn it or to condemn us, telling us we were all terrible people. He came here to save us all. And he left everything to come down here and save us. If that's not love, I don't know what is. And I lost my place again. I'm sorry. Okay. Verse 16 here is showing us... Oh, wait, no, I already went over that. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I stopped in the middle of a sentence. That's why. The Lord Jesus' life is a history of God's love to us. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. As I have a scripture written here, but I didn't give them all the scriptures. Otherwise, we would have had like a long list of ones, more like a slideshow going on or something. It was 2 Corinthians 5:19 for anybody, if anybody's taking notes. The end of verse 16 is stating again, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Simply stating, if we have love in our heart, we have God in our heart. This love, or verse 17, this love will give us peace and satisfaction in our spirit in the day it's most needed. And I always take note because I think in verse 17 it had day capitalized. And when we see day capitalized in the Bible, with the big D, it's talking about the day when the Lord is coming back. And if we are here on this earth, we will truly need it then. But no one knows when that's coming except the Father. We can only pray and hope that it'll happen soon. I always pray that. I don't know if it's selfish or not, but I'm not home, and I want to be home. Anyway, the end part of 17 states that love conforms us to his image, as stated in Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And I consider that to be love and that to be important, because we're all supposed to be transformed into the image of Jesus, because he showed nothing but pure love while he was here on this earth. I can only imagine what it was like. I was just talking to my fiance last night about how amazing it was for the apostles. They didn't have the Spirit, but yet they followed the Lord willingly because of the love they had for him, and they knew that he was the Son of God. Even without the Spirit, they knew and believed. I often sit and think, would I have been one of the ones who believed, or would I have been one of the doubters? I truly don't know. I hope I would have been one of the ones who believed. But what's great is, no matter which one I would have been, my God loves me and forgives me. And I thank him for that every day. We are conformed to the image of his Son. As we read verse 18, we see that there is no fear in love, but love casts out fear. We are told to fear God, yet to love him. This is not a contradiction at all, just misunderstood, because we are not to fear him. Having respect or hold him in high regard. But fear in this verse is speaking of a guilt. If we have his true love in us, we have no fear, for he has overcome the world. And that's another one I didn't give you. I'm sorry about that. I told you I have a lot of them. I have a long list of them on the back, actually. And that was, again, for anybody taking notes, John 16:33. If we have fear, love is not perfected in us. It is not made complete. Verse 19 states very clearly, we love because he first loved us. God shows his love for us in creating us, sending his Son for us, and every single thing you can be thankful for, no matter how minuscule or small. Verse 20 states that we can't claim to love God whom we haven't seen and hate our brother whom we have seen, because God created us all in his image. So how are we to claim we love him yet hate his creation, which is part of him? Verse 21 states the command to love your brother if you claim to love God. It states more than that, but like I said, I was going over basically a brief synopsis of different things because I was trying to get more out there so that they would understand more. Like I was telling my fiance last night also, you know, every time you study the Bible, I can go over one verse and come up with like 30 verses, and then I have to delve into all 30 of those verses. It's like never ending, but it truly is enjoyable for me, because the more I read and the more I study, the closer I feel to God, which I need every day. Where was I? Okay. I know where I was now. At the podium. Verse 1 of chapter 5 tells us that if we believe Jesus, to be the promised Messiah born of God and love the Father, then we also love the child born of the Father. Verse 2 shows us that when we love God and observe his commandments, we are fulfilling the law by loving him and loving his children. This is why, when asked the greatest commandment, Jesus said, oh, he's already on it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, I'm sorry. Getting too close to the mic. I'm not used to being around him. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's another reason why I picked this study to go today, because love is essential to everything. Jesus fulfilled the entire law just by love, having true love. As it would be said in Greek, agape love, sacrificial love. And I can't really think of anywhere in the world that we actually see that kind of love. It's sad, but it gives us something to look forward to when we go home. These two seemingly easy commands fulfill the whole law. By the power of God through love, which he has given us. Verse 3 states that the love of God is that when we keep his commandments, we keep his commands only by love, which we receive from him when we rely on his Spirit. We also see that his commands can't be a burden when we rely on the Spirit, simply because when we're relying on the Spirit, we receive joy, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's another scripture that I could give. I forget if it's Galatians or Ephesians. I'm a little rusty on that. Sorry. And now I lost my place. Okay. Verse 4 says that when we are born of God, we overcome the world. For we have Jesus in us, and we are in him. And the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. Romans 10:17. For anybody taking notes. Finally, we look to verse 5, and seeing that we overcome the world when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Sorry if it was a little short. That's my shortest study, but I think it's an extremely important one because it deals with love, and love is essential in our Christian walk. I hope everybody, or at least one person, got something out of it. About me being nervous in that, but thank you guys for allowing me to speak. Have a blessed day, and to all the mothers out there, sorry I didn't say it in the beginning. I'm probably going to get smacked by my fiance for it. Happy Mother's Day.